They're great. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
From that show we never watch, but we love hearing about, Celebrity Rehab.
Yeah.
Here's more Jeff Conaway.
Oh, good.
Getting mad at Daniel Baldwin.
What's the real deal here?
I don't know.
You don't know whether you want to get sober? What is it?
There's a part of me that, there's some part of me, I mean, it's my seventh or eighth treatment, right. I can't remember, that really wants to get sober and has for a very, very long time.
And you know what? If I leave here tomorrow and decide that I'm going to use, I'm going to spend 10 days in a hotel room going back and forth in a car 24-7, getting the dealer to show up and you know, buying the alcohol and trying to wheel and deal my business manager to try to give me money that I'm saying is really for something else while I'm trying to cover up why I wasn't at the audition and blah, 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 blah. You know what, Jeff?
I don't do that. I stay at home. And I sit there and call my doctor. Exactly.
That's not life, what's been going on.
No, that's not life, but it's closer to death.
I just find it very interesting that, no offense to you, but, you know, you've had a seizure in here, you've had to go to the hospital in here, you've disrupted the group a number of times.
No offense.
Antics. You smuggled drugs into the place.
Unbeknownst to you, I did not take it back.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, ho, ho. Not bad.
Wow. Fancy digs you got here.
Thank you. Well, how bad do you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
I know.
Well, what have we here?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
Mysterious visitors from the Orient. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I like the way they use the dramatic crescendo of music with that Jeff Conaway thing, too. You know, it's almost like Kathy Bates in Misery.
Yes.
You know, when they bring in the violins when she has her little tantrums.
See, look! Look what you made me do!
And I have to say something about Kathy Bates. She looked lovely at the announcement of the Oscar nominations the other day.
Sure.
She was hot. She was boxed.
Just rolled out of the toilet.
Absolutely did.
Beautiful eye makeup.
I may be betraying a confidence here, but that has not stopped me before. It's a funny story, a fun little story about Dan Snyder that I just realized I didn't ever share this with anybody, that the guy that is my accountant is the brother of my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so okay. I got a pretty sweet deal there. I'm relatively sure that my life savings is not going to be going to Tijuana, Mexico anytime soon.
Because, he's protecting you.
Because the accountant is the brother of my brother-in-law.
Right.
Well, anyway, down there is signing papers, doing some stuff. And they mentioned that they've had some dealings with Dan Snyder in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Snyder, pre-Washington Redskins, Dan Snyder.
The okay. Dan Snyder building his empire.
For instance, if you go into the office where my brother-in-law's brother, my accountant, is, they have a very nice, antique, European-looking desk.
Okay.
And they take great pride in telling you that they received that from Dan Snyder in lieu of payment.
Ah, like a trade?
And at the same time, while Dan Snyder was giving them furniture to pay his accounting bills, they helped keep his big secret that he had a Maserati.
Really? Still does?
Well, this was, Mike, I don't know, this was like 15, a long time ago.
Right.
So he was having money problems.
Right.
And obviously he was even having money problems to the point where he was having to say to the accountant, his local accountant, I can't pay you. Here's a desk.
Here's a beautiful desk. Mm-hmm. Solid wood.
And he kept this car hidden.
Well, sure.
So that friends, creditors, et cetera.
He wanted to keep his toy.
Wouldn't know that he had a Maserati.
Of course.
Was it a, well, it wasn't a full-priced Maserati. It was a, wasn't it a Matchbox? It was just one of the little ones,
wasn't
it?
It's a tiny car. It's a tiny man. It's funny.
Stuart Little.
It's funny to think that he went in to Steve's office and said, you know, I can't pay, but how about a nice Victorian desk?
Here, take this desk and trade. I'm very surprised that they took that. Must have been a real nice desk. Was it a nice desk?
I see it every time I go to his office. It's a very nice desk.
Like a desk that makes a statement?
It's a desk that you would see like in a nice fancy hotel.
Well, how can they use it, though, with the legs cut off?
Oh, no, Mike. It's a table for grown-up people.
Full-size. Oh, it's a grown-up. So, well, no wonder he didn't want to use it.
Right.
It wasn't modified to fit his size.
Too big.
Anyway, I forgot that for the longest time, and how great is that? You know, here's the rich guy that throws around money like it's going out of style, overpaying everybody on God's green earth.
Not fossil.
If you're an assistant coach. And that's another good question.
Yeah, I'm very curious whether he will, you know, give Fossil the same kind of sweetheart deals that have been had by men like Spurrier and Coach Gibbs.
Or even the assistants.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that Al Saunders makes $2 million a year? The defensive guy makes $2 million a year. Mm. What's his name? Joe Bugle makes $2 million a year.
I think they're all going to be gone. Well, perhaps this is another kind of move. Perhaps it's a cost-cutting move.
Mm.
You know? Maybe he's doing that. Maybe the time has passed where the realization of the dream is beginning to fade a little bit, and it's back to job one. It's back to job one, getting more signage up in that stadium.
Mr. Fossil, how would you like a coffee table? Nice. Very nice.
I've got a lovely townhouse that we can let you use.
I don't know if you caught this or not. Rob found this on the World Wide Web. We watch the Regis Show just about every day. Love Regis Philbin.
Yeah, this was an underreported story.
Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
They didn't let it go on the show itself, right?
No. They were going to have Ringo Starr on yesterday.
Right.
BFD. And his new record, Rob says the title of it is horrible. And it's horrible.
Terrible. That's a terrible record.
It's horrible. Anyway, they say to him, okay, you've got like two and a half minutes.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you know, hey, the record's 4 minutes long. And
yeah, the bloody records, it's 4 minutes and 15 seconds.
It'll fade it out after 2 minutes. And he said, well, I love Regis, but goodbye. And he walked off the set.
He walked off because he wouldn't shorten his song, right?
You don't hear that too much.
They call that artistic differences.
Yeah. You don't hear that.
That's a shame. You know, wouldn't you like to see good old Regis do a real rave out on that?
Let me see. Told Tuesday the performance had to be shortened. Ringo Starr tried to cut about a minute of the song out. They say just couldn't do it. Michael Gelman, producer of the Regis Show, said, imagine that. Even though he's Ringo Starr, and he's the crappiest of the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. He's a Beatle.
He's the least talented of the Beatles, but still, for God's sakes, he's a goddamn Beatle.
He's a Beatle.
Imagine this. He's having to stand there and get lip service from Michael Gelman. About keeping his song under 3 minutes on the Regis Philbin.
Well, I think they should at least give him the same kind of treatment they gave Soulja Boy. I really, really do. I mean, you know, give me a break. You think they'd cut Hannah Montana if she came on that show? Not a chance.
No way.
Ringo Starr didn't realize his performance had to be 2.5 minutes or less. Ringo says, all right, the song's 4 minutes long. I can get it down to about 3:30. Uh-huh. Michael Gelman then said to Ringo Starr,
I love you.
You must get it down to 2.5 minutes.
Stupid.
So then Ringo Starr's guy says, we offered to cut back our chat time with Regis and Kelly.
And no! Host
minute.
Chat?
No. Ringo's chat time.
Oh, Ringo's chat. Oh, they wouldn't cut host chat for all the world.
They said they would lose the chat time, a minute from the chat time with Regis and Kelly, and then they could just fade or go to commercial. They're not willing to do that. Ringo was not willing to compromise, so they were not able to stay.
Mm.
And then they said goodbye.
Wouldn't you love to look at that show from yesterday and really add up everything they had on it? And we're talking about 2 minutes.
Tops.
2 minutes tops on that show. See what they could have cut. Really, go through that show with a fine-tooth comb and see what they could slash.
They had the Fagala of the Month from Project Runway.
Yep.
They had
got to give him a good long time.
They had the people from The Amazing Race. And he spent about 20 minutes, as always, fawning over his age spots, and she bemoaned the fact that she doesn't have cleavage. Now, you could take 2 minutes out for goddamn Ringo Starr.
I would think so, and this has been, I don't want to say this story's been buried, but it has not gotten the play that I think it should have gotten. You know, did they have anything else of like monumental significance discussing a shrine to Mrs. Greenthumbs or anything like that?
They did not.
Very, very, very sad.
And then there was the thing about Simon Cowell. That with all the stuff about him,
shut up.
Everything with you know all the things off you go and everything else and happy endings. Simon Cowell is worth $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he just got his will redone. He's given $100 million to charity when he dies.
I think that's what I'd like to do. Excuse me. I'm talking. I'm explaining myself.
$100 million
Yeah. $100 million of his $200 million
Well, it's two things. I mean, he's not that old a guy, and he's already thinking about his own mortality. I think that's noble
and generous.
I'd like to also say that wills are very subject to change.
Sure,
one man's will, while the show is still on the air, could turn into a slight modification. I will be giving all my pennies to Bambi.
You think that might be a slight PR move on Simon's part?
They are really making an effort to humanize Simon this year, I noticed on the show.
Sure. What about that one girl was hot last night, the girl that said she was hot for Simon? Now,
yeah, she had a little junk in the trunk, but she was not a bad-looking woman.
Was her sister pregnant or just fat?
She was fat. They were both fat. They both had fat asses. Mm. And but the nice thing, the one that went through to Hollywood, she's a la Catherine McPhee a little bit,
yeah.
Where, you know, if she's smart, she's going to go out there and they're going to put her on that starvation diet they do out in Hollywood. Mm-hmm.
What about when they did the one woman, they were trying to show how all the judges are loved, and they showed a woman holding up a sign saying, "Randy, you're my dog," mm-hmm. and then someone going, "Randy is sexy." And it was a slow motion of him, and he might as well have been sitting on the toilet. He's just sitting there at the desk,
yeah.
Stroking his chin, and the woman on TV was going, "Randy, with those sideburns.
I love that beard you got this year." And then they do the thing where they surround his face with the Vaseline, that Vaseline look. They're doing that to all of them this year. Not a bad episode last night. I didn't mind it at all.
And not a lot of Ryan Seacrest. I'm okay with that, too.
But I still like Ryan Seacrest when he'll do the deadpan. I really, really like that when he doesn't know what to say and the contestant doesn't know what to say and they leave the camera on him. I think that's wonderful.
They did a great job with him last night with that China girl that thought she sounded like Mariah Carey.
Oh,
and
she was
pre-interview.
That's one of the bait and switches that they did on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Said,
it's a hot girl.
Right.
Well, she's got big boobs, at least. She's like Rachel Ray with big boobs, right?
Yeah. She's a little fatter than Rachel
kind
Ray.
Kind of an Asian thing going on, but she says, "All my friends tell me I sound just like Mariah Carey. When I sing, they say I sound like Mariah Carey."
She was Asian, but she appeared to have one eye above the other one. Did you notice her eyes were just a little?
That's a trick.
Wow. Oh, that was so painful.
But they did a great job with setting up when he says, "But do you ever laugh at the bad contestants?" Oh, yeah.
Off you go. Off you go.
And you know the trick they're not doing this year is they haven't switched up the
door.
The doors on contestants.
Yes, I know.
Where it's one
that.
Door going in, another door going out.
I hold on one second, Robbie. I would bet anybody that at some point before they start the entire thing, those two Jerry Springer bodyguards that they have now,
right.
There will be something with someone refusing to leave where we'll have to really get rough.
I'm hoping for South Carolina next week. I really am.
Have you noticed there's a peephole drilled in the door now?
Is there really?
Oh, that's right, because when the one guy was singing, they held up the little kid. Oh, and you know what? That was the bait and switch that I was positive was going to be the ultimate. The guy with the long hair, the widowed guy, who was holding his little kid, who could barely speak a word of English, and for God's sake, give that kid a haircut.
I agree.
The kid looked like a little girl sitting there with his long rock and roll hair, but the dad gets up and sings, and they're holding the kid up to the door so he can peek through. And here's what's great this year. Maybe you'll agree with me. A lot of these people that are getting through, you don't really know if they're good or if they're bad when they're singing. It's like they're singing.
They're kind of average auditions. There haven't been any real stunning auditions.
And Simon says a lot, that was a good audition.
Right.
And an audition and being able to sing is a very different thing.
But a lot of times they sing, and I sit there as the idiot viewer, and I go, okay, was that good or bad?
Right.
You know, like,
yeah, you can't tell, and then it's a real moment of drama when they're letting him through. And it also seems to me that this year that they're letting a lot of people through to Hollywood that you never see.
Yeah.
That you never see at all. Many, many more in years past.
Well, I think everything will change tonight if that lie detector show delivers at least this much. I'll be there because I saw another snippet where they say, "Do you think you'll be married to your wife in 5 years?" And the guy says, "No."
Oh, no.
It's the wife. Take it back.
Isn't it the wife that says that?
Take it back. They don't give her answer. Right. The one is, "Have you ever touched a female coworker inappropriately.
Yeah, I've seen
at
that
work.
One. I've seen that one.
I just saw it for the first time last night when the guy says, "Yeah,
yeah." They promoted it properly, and I think that it's the wife that says that. They say, you know, could you see yourself being married in another 5 years? And all they do, they don't show the answer,
she
but
just
you show
her
the
face.
They show the shot of the husband, and the husband's giving you like one of these. What?
And doesn't she like she's crying?
Yeah, she's a little bit emotional.
Sad at the same time.
I predict all of us will be off that show by 9:15.
Maybe. Really?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a suck fest.
Do we hate that host?
Yes, we do.
Mark Wahlberg. Why do we hate him?
We hate him. He's on Antiques Roadshow, isn't he? And didn't he host the Temptation Island?
You know what I'd like to see, though, if you wanted to spice that show up? Right. Not just the answers, but, you know, you're using electricity, obviously electromagnetic pulses,
sure,
to get the responses to find out if they're lying or not. Mm-hmm. Tie that into the seat or the floor.
Sure. Like the experiment at the front of a Ghostbusters?
Exactly.
Or do it like the Good Shepherd. Remember that awful movie?
Yeah.
I just rewatched
awful movie that I still go back to.
I
once
just
in a
rewatched
while.
It partly over the weekend.
I love the scene when they off the guy.
How about when the guy
when the British guy gets whacked at the end?
Oh, the old queen.
The old queen gets it.
And what about when they're interrogating the one guy? It's like 1962, and they come over and they say to Matt Damon, "We've got something called LSD," and he's like, "Sure, give it to him."
Sure, yeah, they used to do that in the good old days. Mm-hmm. The good old days of the CIA.
That's right.
When we would topple governments and nobody'd know anything about it.
Never made the news.
The dude starts tripping, man.
One of the greatest LSD scenes ever, if you want to get a good William Castle fix, the movie The Tingler. It's an old horror movie.
Get out of here. Bye. You got microphone off. Microphone off. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The Tingler.
Bye-bye, Rob.
Easy to find in your local video stores.
You'd be surprised.
I got your Tingler.
I'll loan you my copy.
Now, if you want to see good drug stuff, you got to see that Johnny Depp Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh. Blow's good.
But seriously.
That's not the first time I've said that.
You see Benito Del Toro and Johnny Depp as Hunter Thompson, mm-hmm, and that movie is those guys just bouncing off the walls, wasted. And there's a scene in that movie.
They sure do glorify drug use, don't they, Mike?
They are sitting in a circular revolving bar. And it's a merry-go-round type bar. Wow. And they're at the bar, and he's afraid to get off the barrier that's moving just at a snail's pace.
Sure.
And he's afraid to jump off it. It's amazing.
I would tell you the movie that I really cannot wait to see.
What?
There Will Be Blood.
It's there. Out there.
Yes. But it's in such limited release.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
It's not everywhere yet.
You know, everybody's giving Daniel Day-Lewis these amazing props, but I think it's it's the exact same role that he played in Gangs of New York.
Yeah, except I got to
tell you, he's playing the same role.
I got to tell you something. When Bart was back for vacation, he went to a showing in D.C. on a Friday night at midnight, like at the Avalon Theater,
mm-hmm,
where it was, and this was like a month and a half ago, when it was a one-time screening. He came back and he told us everything about the movie.
Right.
And from the pictures I've seen and the ads I've
intense
seen.
Intense.
Yeah, from what my son said. Doesn't do justice to how badass this movie is.
Oh, gratuitous violence.
Yes.
Hey, all right.
To the nth degree.
Oh, good. A little Goodfellas action. Fantastic.
And even some that will make you turn your head away, like you don't want to see it.
Wow.
Really? I thought it was the title of Margaret Cho's blog. I read her blog about that time of the month. It's about the most disgusting thing I've ever read.
Really?
I'm going to have Rob get it off the internet and give it to you because it does not. I will not be able to recreate it and do it justice.
Sure.
And this is something you must read. Margaret Cho, you know.
I bet it's like plum sauce.
It's no. She discusses in her blog.
Duck sauce. Thank
how
you,
much Buzz. She hates her, thank God. How much she hates her.
Well, wouldn't you?
Time of the. I mean, yeah. No, but she talks about it.
If you were Margaret Cho, wouldn't you hate your period? Margaret Cho.
How much she hates it because of the duration and the amount.
It lasts forever.
Including one high point about the reason she never moves. She never moves. Do you know why she never moves?
Why, Mike?
She never wants anyone to see her mattress.
Okay? Oh.
I'm just telling you what I read. That's from the mind of Margaret Cho.
More from the mind of that's more from the waist of Margaret
yeah,
Cho.
It's amazing.
WAIST.
She is very graphic and a lot of detail about her. Thank God. And you know, coming from Margaret Cho, it was very special.
Is she on our team or their team or is she on both teams?
I think she might be on our team. I think she might be hetero.
I thought it was both teams.
You think she's
I think both. what?
Well, they're gonna flock to her after this blog becomes big news.
This will be one for you, Mike. Who would you do?
Okay,
Margaret Cho or Janine Garofalo?
Janine Garofalo in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Smart man.
Yeah, I think Janine. But I mean, if you're gonna do a who would you do, you got to keep it.
How about this?
Asian.
Whose mattress would you rather clean after after that time?
Oh,
Margaret Cho or
Janine Garofalo?
Whose mattress would you rather clean?
I'd still flock to Janine Garofalo, even though the mattresses might be very very similar.
How about you think Margaret Cho or Paula Deen?
They could be like a Rorschach test.
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about Paula Deen as far as having the Margaret Cho problem anymore.
Right. In the day.
In the day.
Now butter just comes out of Paula Deen. I can't believe it's not butter.
It's butter.
Her big wet spot.
That's what I cook with, my own butter.
Butter.
Now here come my boys to change my sheets.
I'm trying to think of fat Asian chicks that you can do a who would you do with. And when and Margaret Cho really has the market.
Good luck.
Corner.
They're all real thin. Hold on, Joe.
Clementine Chan.
Joe.
What, Joe? Margaret Cho has been married since 2003.
What?
Margaret Cho has been married since 2003.
How about that? Joe's listening to the show today.
Hey, way to go, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Real information.
Right on.
He just doesn't play marbles and cook chicken.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.